In Ohio, with millions of acres of productive farms, thousands of food manufacturing firms, and gigantic groceries on seemingly every corner, people are going hungry. The folks we define as food insecure are literally right next door, and the numbers are appalling. 650,000 kids, 385,000 senior citizens, another million Ohio adults. What's going on, and more to the point, how do we stop it? We talk the causes, consequences, and some cures for hunger on Town Hall Ohio.
This is Town Hall Ohio, home to interesting people, engaging issues, and enlightening stories. Town Hall Ohio is a production of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, working to forge a partnership between farmers and consumers, and is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now, here's Town Hall Ohio host, Joe Corneli.
It has been Farm Bureau's privilege to host Town Hall Ohio since back in 2006. Today is the fourth or fifth time we've dug into a topic I'd rather we didn't have to cover at all, and that is hunger in Ohio. To help us tell the story and hopefully help us figure out some solutions, two guests in the studio with us today, Lisa Hamler-Fugit. She is the executive director of the Ohio Association of Food Banks, and Ben Johnson, who directs communications for the Ohio Department of Jobs and Family Services. Ben, welcome. I know that you're a first-time guest. Lisa, I hate seeing you in here, to be honest.
Well, Joe, it's good to see you, despite our sad topic of hunger and food insecurity in Ohio.
And it's good to see both of you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let's before we jump into this, let's get folks a little bit more familiar with your organization. Lisa, the Ohio Association of Food Banks. What do you guys do?
We're Ohio's largest charitable response to hunger. We represent the 12 Feeding America food banks, providing food funding, training, and technical assistance to a network of some 3,300 member charities, food pantries, soup kitchens, and homeless shelters. We fed 1 in 6 Ohioans last year through our emergency food assistance network.
Give us a little bit more on that structure. You represent food banks, which in turn then supply. It's kind of moves down the chain, right?
That's exactly what it is. It's the food chain. We are the state association that represent the 12 food banks. Those are large food depositories where food from a variety of sources are brought in. It's checked for code, it's sorted, and then either distributed out to our member charities, or our member charities come to the centralized location and pick it up.
How about the Department of Job and Family Services, Ben? The agency as a whole, and then its role in the whole hunger space.
Well, we do a lot of different things. Most people, when they think of Job and Family Services, think of public assistance, and certainly that's a large part of what we do, providing food assistance, commonly called food stamps, cash assistance, often referred to as welfare, to low-income Ohioans. There's also a publicly funded child care program and some other smaller programs. But we also administer the state's unemployment compensation program. We administer most of the federally funded job programs in the state of Ohio. These would be job training programs for people who are out of work or just leaving school. We supervise the state's child support enforcement entities. There's one in every county around the state. So we do a lot of different things at the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services. This one is of particular importance because the caseload is very, very large. So we are helping millions of Ohioans, 1.69 million at last count, who are not able on their own to feed their children and feed themselves, and we support them.
You mentioned a number of assistance programs, and if we have a chance, we'll get to this a little bit more later, but what I've learned in studying up on hunger over the years is that these assistance programs, whether it's SNAP or welfare or whatever, they all relate to each other so much. And if there's a shortcoming in one arena, it costs us in the other. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. But Lisa, back to you. I used a term at the top of the show, food insecurity. Help us understand what that means.
Food insecurity is a definition that the United States Department of Agriculture uses to define households with insufficient resources in which to meet their need for basic food assistance through normal channels. We used to call it hunger, and we've changed it now to food insecurity and very low food insecurity. And it means that individuals and families are doing multiple things and making multiple trade-offs and coping strategies, reducing the size and the portion of the meals that the adults eat so their children won't have enough food. It's purchasing less expensive food. and it's going hungry at certain times during the month because of a lack of resources. And those are both food stamps, which is now called the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as Food Assistance in Ohio, which is this nation's first line of defense against hunger. But when we changed the name of the program a number of years ago to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, it more adequately reflects that individuals must have additional income or other resources at which to supplement that benefit. And what we're seeing in a growing number of individuals and families, as well as our seniors now, who are making choices between food, medicine, food, utilities, housing, transportation, and now even education.
Ben, is there an easy way to describe who and where the hungry or food insecure are in Ohio, or is it, unfortunately, I think I know the answer, it's across the board?
Sure, it is across the board, and I think people would be surprised in some cases to learn that there are certainly people receiving food assistance in their community, regardless of where you live around the state. As I mentioned, we served in the month of March 1.69 million Ohioans. About 44% are children, they're 18 years old or younger. About 6% are 65 years old or older. About a quarter of the caseload in any given month works. And about three-quarters of the caseload either works or lives in the household where someone has some form of income. It could be earned income or Social Security income or something like that. So, you know, you will find that a lot of people receiving food assistance are working, that many of them are children, and that, as Lisa mentioned, it is a supplemental program. So they may be they may have earned income that they supplement with food assistance. They may have food assistance and they supplement it with a trip to one of Lisa's food pantries or soup kitchens. And so, you know, they're working, of course, to make the best decision for themselves and their family. One of the things that we're really trying to do, and you brought this up just a moment ago, is better align and coordinate all of our programs. And that's a real point of emphasis for us right now. And we're trying to build programs, food assistance and other programs, that provide both immediate assistance to families in crisis and long-term assistance in the form of job training or educational opportunities, and even just simple work search help sometimes. So we're really trying to get the programs to work better together. So it's a person-centered, not program-centered, is what we like to say.
I want to say that we have had a long-standing partnership with the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services and are very grateful to Ben and his team. We operate the Ohio Benefit Bank in partnership with ODJFS. It's an internet-based application assistance program that brings together some 24 different work support, nutrition, education, tax credits into a single platform. We work with 1,300 member charities across the state, reaching people where they work, live, play, pray, and learn. A lot of times, especially the new poor, are unfamiliar with the benefits that are available at the county level through the County Department of Job and Family Services. And they can go to a trusted entity in their community, a church, a food pantry, and find out literally within 90 seconds how likely they may be eligible for one of these programs. We can help them complete the application and then send them to the appropriate public entity that makes the eligibility determination. It's a one-stop shop to learn about what's available so you can meet your basic needs.
You both have said at several times already that some of the folks who receive this assistance or participate in various assistance programs are working. I think that probably is counter to what you would typically think. Maybe Ben comment here, but you don't think of people who are actually out being productive, earning a salary or earning a paycheck of some sort, as needing help. That's no longer the case.
Well, the eligibility threshold for food stamps is 130% of the federal poverty level. So to put that into dollar figures that people understand, it's about $26,000 a year for a family of three. And so you can absolutely have income and you can be out there working, maybe working part-time and you'd rather be working full-time, just in sort of a flexible schedule where you don't always get the hours you need. And another thing to keep in mind, and I know Lisa knows this firsthand, is that there's a fair amount of churn in the program. So there are people who need food assistance for 6 months and then don't need it for a while and then come back into the program. And they're right on the threshold because they don't always have the hours they need or because the type of work they do is not always readily available, or at least not available to the extent that they need it.
We are chatting about hunger in Ohio, the problem itself, and we'll be talking about some ways to help mitigate it a little bit later. Helping us tell that story is Ben Johnson. He's with the Ohio Department of Jobs and Family Services. Lisa Hamler-Fugit with the Ohio Association of Food Banks. Lisa, one of the causes, obviously, we've done this show in the past, and it's this is an oversimplification, but poverty seems to be the single biggest reason that people are food insecure or go hungry. But beyond abject poverty, beyond what we typically think of, what are some of the other reasons that we continue to see, sadly, an increase in the number of people who need our help?
Well, it is poverty, Joe, and I want to say that, you know, we're 6 years out from the end of the Great Recession, and while the economy may be improving for some, what we've seen are the jobs that we lost during the Great Recession, and this had been happening really prior to the Great Recession, those good family-supporting jobs that paid a livable income, put people into the middle class, provided benefits such as a health insurance, paid time off, and an opportunity to save for retirement. Those have been the jobs that we've lost, and unfortunately the jobs that have come back, and again, we've seen jobs come back, tend to be low-wage, part-time, temporary, and contingent. So we have a lot of individuals formerly in the middle class who are struggling to piece together multiple low-wage, part-time jobs, and they're just not making it. In fact, today in the great state of Ohio, we have a poverty and a food insecurity rate that is 16%. It's more than triple the state's official unemployment rate.
How do we stack up compared to other states? I mean, nothing's going to make it good or better, but is Ohio progressing perhaps better than some, worse than some in terms of resolving these issues?
I think that there have been a lot of efforts, and I know Ben can speak to this, the coordination that's being done at the state through Ohio Means Jobs to get the word out about what jobs are available. I think we've made a major emphasis on trying to get people retrained, retooled, and educated into fields that are going to provide them, again, with family-supporting jobs. But unfortunately, on the food insecurity rate, we're worst in the Midwest. We're also an aging state, and that's really important because we are seeing now more senior citizens. They are the canary in the coal mine. They thought that the modest retirements that they would be able to support themselves on are gone, and they're now turning in increasing numbers to our food lines. Also, a changing demographic. We're seeing more households headed by seniors raising children, raising grandchildren and great-grandchildren, for that matter. So, again, this is, I think we're in uncharted waters as it relates to the economy, and we need to ensure that hungry children are well-fed so they can get that solid education. We need to make sure that our workers have access to the nutrition that they need so they can be productive, and we need to make sure our seniors have life-sustaining food so they can remain independent in their golden years.
Well, we're going to continue to talk about the problem of hunger in Ohio and get to some potential solutions, at least mitigating steps that can be taken. As we continue with our guests, Lisa Hamler-Fugit with the Ohio Association of Food Banks, Ben Johnson with the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services. We'll continue on Town Hall Ohio after this.
I'm hungry, not a bite to eat all day. Why I'm so hungry, not a bite to eat all day. Well, I can starve until my baby come and take my pain away.
We are talking about hunger in Ohio today on Town Hall Ohio. Ben Johnson of the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services, Lisa Hamler-Fugit, Ohio Association of Food Banks, helping us to tell this rather sad story. Lisa, let's talk about the impacts on individuals of food insecurity and hunger. And I don't mean just the hunger pain that you feel physically when your belly's not full, but there are, especially in kids, some rather significant physiological and psychological impacts of being food insecure.
It's really tragic. Again, Not only is it lost educational attainment, hungry children are more likely to have to repeat a grade. They suffer from increased rates of depression, more hospitalizations than their non-poor peers. And again, oftentimes this sets a child up for lifelong struggles, especially as it relates to lost educational attainment, mental health issues, higher rates of suicide, but also healthcare costs. And I think that is the one piece that we see is ensuring that low-income families have access to healthy, wholesome foods through the programs that are available through our federal nutrition programs, that they have readily available access to food at the community level as well as schools. We need to do more of expanding not only school breakfast, school lunch, outside school time hours, summer feeding program. So we say that hunger is unacceptable because, again, we pay a horribly high cost for hunger, whether it's children who have to have remedial education, who have to repeat a grade, but healthcare costs, again, higher rates of diabetes, hypertension, renal failure, that we all pay for.
Yeah, and even if you didn't try to attack this problem because it's the right thing to do, it's these other outside consequences, Lisa points out, to the community. You know, if I'm an employer, I don't want my people having to, you know, come to work hungry. They're not going to be so productive. So, Ben, there are implications outside of just the individual and the family. It's community-wide.
Absolutely. And the programs that we provide at JFS and SNAP in particular provide stability to families around the state. So, you know, these additional programs help people stay at work, help them stay in their own home, and so the kids can stay in the same school, and they provide a level of stability that's really important. And, you know, I talked earlier about how we're working through a process called Human Services Innovation to better coordinate all these programs. It's something we're really focused on right now. And that is going to initially be targeted at 16 to 24-year-olds, which speaks to exactly what you just mentioned. It's not, you know, it's not the littlest kids, but it's the idea that if you can get to teenagers and young adults and help provide immediate assistance that gives them some level of stability, and then long-term assistance that puts them on a path out of poverty, a path towards self-sufficiency, that in some of these cases, we hope to be able to break the cycle of poverty. I mean, we're talking in many cases, in some cases, we're talking about families that were impacted by the recession and have never been in this position before. And certainly those cases are important as well. But in other cases, we're talking about children that grew up in poverty, their parents grew up in poverty. And so it's a generational cycle. And we'd really like to get in there and break that if we can with teenagers and young adults.
Yeah, the term I've heard is it's a legacy, unfortunately, in some cases.
It is. And again, hunger's merely a symptom of poverty. I always want to say that. And as Ben described, we have situational poverty. We have generational poverty, but it's going to take more resources working in a coordinated way to really address the root cause. And number one, it is education. We need to ensure that our kids are well fed, that they're well educated, that they're moving forward, and again, can get that education, which is the foundation for their future productivity and ability to earn a wage that's going to support themselves.
Well, we've got just a minute or so left here before we go to break, so I don't want to get too deep into this next subject. We need to save a little bit more time, so and we'll come back to this again. But if folks want to help, if perhaps even our radio show has moved them just a little bit today, Ben, what kind of recommendations can you make for folks that might want to say, you know, this is unacceptable?
Well, certainly people can volunteer through any one of Lisa's affiliated organizations, but they can come to our website and they can get involved. You know, one of the things we do that might be of particular interest to your audience is something called SNAP Ed, and it's a partnership with the OSU Extension, and it's educational programming for people who receive food assistance, cooking, eating healthy, grocery store shopping, all of these things that help them stretch their food assistance dollar, help them eat healthier, help their, you know, the right nutritional makeup for the children so they do better in school, all of these important things. And that's a great place for people to get involved.
And Lisa, I'm sure that the Ohio Association of Food Banks and the food pantries around Ohio would welcome volunteers, advocates, even writing a check, maybe.
Absolutely. As I've said to you before, we are looking for all Ohioans to engage in their community. We need their time, their talent, and as well as their treasure. For those listeners who may be gardening, plant a row for the hungry, for farmers, growers, and commodity producers, we would ask that you contact us if you have surplus fruits or vegetables or protein items, and participate in our Ohio Agriculture Clearance Program, which is a public-private partnership that we have with the governor, the General Assembly, the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services that provides the most wholesome food that we have. Or if you'd like to donate, you can do 1-800-648-1176.
All right. Well, we're going to talk more about what we can do individually and collectively about hunger as we continue our discussion on Town Hall Ohio with Lisa Hamler-Fugit of the Ohio Association of Food Banks, Ben Johnson, Ohio Department of Job and Family Services. We'll be back in a moment.
Up every morning with the rising sun, work all day till the evening come, blisters and corns all in my hand, Lord have mercy on a working man, guess I'm gonna die like I'm living, and I will change.
Welcome back to Town Hall Ohio, where our topic is feeding the hungry in Ohio, why they are that way, what we can do about it. Ben Johnson, Ohio Department of Job and Family Services, and Lisa Hamler-Fugit of the Ohio Association of Food Banks are our guests in the studio today. We've talked about Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, more commonly called food stamps. Ben, are there other programs that are administered by state government that get into this whole helping people meet their daily food needs?
There are. There are two other large federally funded programs. One I call the Emergency Food Assistance Program, and it's boxes of food distributed through the state food pantries. And it's really a partnership between the farmers and Job and Family Services and the Association of Food Banks and the federal government. And so that program distributes in dollar figures, at least from JFS's perspective, about $9 million a year. Worth of food. And there's something called the Commodity Program, and that's specifically for low-income elderly Ohioans. And the Commodity Program isn't in every county in the state, but it's in most counties in the state. It works from the beneficiary's perspective very similarly to the Emergency Food Program. They would receive a box of food at their local food pantry or food bank. And there are other smaller programs as well. One is a partnership that we have with more than 100 farm markets around the state, so that we want more and more Ohioans to be able to use their food assistance dollars at farm markets. And one of the great things about that partnership is that more and more of the farm markets are going out on their own and getting grants so that they can double each food assistance dollar. So if you have one, you now have two. If you spend it at your local farmer's market, it's good for families, it's good for farmers, it's good for communities. Probably the last big piece of what we do at Job and Family Services when it comes to food is that we fund the food banks around the state, about $14.5 million a year in each of the last 2 years, and about an additional $2 million a year through the Governor's Office of Faith-Based Initiatives for a variety of some just straight funding and some specific projects that Lisa, I'm sure, can tell us more about.
Lisa, you had mentioned one specifically, the Ohio Agricultural Clearance Program. I'd like to have you tell our listeners a little bit more about that one.
The Agriculture Clearance Program is a public-private partnership that has been in existence for some 16 years. It came out of welfare reform then in the last term of Governor Voinovich, who was concerned about the magnitude of the food stamp cuts that were being made in the way of the 1996 welfare reform legislation. It started modestly, and it's grown over time. We work with a core group of about 100 farmers, growers, and commodity producers and clear their surplus or unmarketable agricultural products. What I call these are cosmetically challenged fruits and vegetables, but are completely wholesome, but are not grade A, meaning there's no market value for them. And we reimburse again the farmers a portion of their picking, packing, processing, and production cost to actually go in, harvest that product, pack it off, and get it out to our food banks. And I will tell you, it is the most wholesome source of food. And again, the support of 8 general assemblies, 4 different governors, And we're really proud of that partnership. In fact, it is the largest public-private partnership of its kind currently operating in the nation that bring all of these partners together to ensure that locally grown and raised foods are available and distributed through the Emergency Food Assistance Network.
I'd like you both to follow up on something Ben pointed out, that there's an effort to get people to utilize their assistance benefits at farm markets more and more. You both know here at Farm Bureau, we don't think there's bad food. And if you want a box of crackers or a bag of Cheetos, that's fine. And if you want a tomato that was picked just hours ago from a local farmer, that's fine too. But I don't think anybody argues with the fact that people need more fresh produce in their diets. And Lisa, I know volume is important, but there's a lot of effort being put forth to increase the volume of these more fresh fruits and vegetables.
Absolutely, Joe. I mean, it's been interesting. Really, in two generations, people have become completely disconnected where their food comes from. It doesn't come from the grocery store. It's grown and raised, and we need to connect people to understanding what fresh, wholesome food looks like, and whether it's the double bucks that Ben talked about and being able to maximize those. It's not just through the SNAP program, but we have a WIC and Senior Farmers Market Nutrition programs as well. You know, I'm a big advocate that we need to reincorporate nutrition education at the youngest levels so children understand that what fruits and vegetables look like and really how good and wholesome they are. Because, again, that's going to be a life of good health if we're able to ensure that kids have that variety of food, and it means better health as they age as well. So, again, there's lots of programs out there, all different eligibility criteria, but again, we need to do more in that nutrition education.
There's been a lot of conversation in the last few years nationally and in states around the country about what people spend their food assistance on and whether they're using it wisely. And I think regardless of what you think of that conversation, things like the partnership with farm markets is an easy way to get people to eat healthy.
Well, we're going to continue talking about getting people to eat healthy and being able to eat at all as we discuss hunger in Ohio. We'll be back right after this.
I fell in love with a woman in the food stamp line. Yeah, I fell in love with a woman in the food stamp line.
Back in the studio with us, Lisa Hamler-Fugit of the Ohio Association of Food Banks and Ben Johnson with the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services. We are talking about the problem of hunger in Ohio. Ben, you made a perfectly good point right there before the break. I had to cut you off before you had a chance to explore it more. But I Jack Fisher, our exec here in the at the Farm Bureau, has an editorial coming out in the near future, and he says, one of the ways we get by this, we start to make a difference in the food problem, the hunger problem, is we stop blaming the victims. And many of us are prone to say, well, if they're using food stamps, then they're lazy, or if they're using food stamps, it's coming out of my pocket, whatever the gripe is. Let me look at the flip side of that. Do you find sometimes that people may not step up and ask for the help they need because they're just embarrassed by the fact that they need some kind of public assistance to get by this week or this month?
Sure. Yes. You know, we see it. We see it on both ends. I mean, there are in very rare cases people who are taking advantage of the program, and certainly we want to discourage that wherever we can, detect it where it's happening, and remove those people from the program. But there are also people who are eligible for the program who have not taken advantage of the program. And the program is there for a reason. And so if people are struggling to provide adequate food for their family or just for themselves, we want them to take advantage of the program, hopefully on a short-term basis. But we want the program to be there when they need it. It's a it's a very broad program. That's one of the things that we've talked about. You know, many of our other assistance programs have very small caseloads in comparison. And so we're talking about close to 2 million Ohioans. It's come down, you know, since the recession. Things are getting better, and the economy is improving, but we're still talking about close to 1.7 million Ohioans. And so if people need the program, we want them to take advantage of the program.
Is that urban legend, or is that part of it, Lisa, when we changed the food stamp name to Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program? Was that strictly cosmetic to make people not feel so bad about making use of the program?
I think it was, we debated this for many farm bills. I was not a big supporter of changing the name, I will admit. But I think many felt that it was a better reflection of what it actually is, which is a supplemental program, meaning that families have to have about 30% of discretionary income, which to support their purchasing of a minimal nutritional diet. I want to reemphasize again what Ben said. 1 in 7 Ohioans, and he gave you the data. These are children, persons with disabilities, senior citizens, working families receive this program. Those who are poor enough to qualify for the program. This program has the lowest eligibility threshold of any of our federal nutrition programs, and I will tell you that it also has no transitional benefit, and we see this a lot with working families. They may get a modest raise and end up losing a couple hundred dollars worth of food stamp benefits, and it puts them back in the food line more frequently because they've lost those benefits. And again, the only portion of a person's budget that is fungible is what they have to spend on food. And our families are making sacrifices between food and other basic needs for housing, utilities, transportation, health care. So again, we need to do more to strengthen the program, not weaken the program, as some in Congress have advocated.
We talked earlier about this idea that we need to improve the nutritional value of these meals. Lisa, you have impressed me as an advocate for farming technology. Why is that?
I have the great good fortune, again, to work with farmers, growers, and commodity producers all over the state of Ohio. What a great story they have to tell. You know, we as Americans take things for granted until we don't have them, and we have certainly had a couple of instances recently, whether it was the water scare in Lake Erie, or now we have a water boil in the Central Ohio area. You know, we need to understand that we're going to only be as strong as our access to affordable food, and our farmers, growers, and commodity producers do a phenomenal job. They are the best stewards of the land and are able to continue to produce food and make it readily available, but we can't take that for granted.
Lisa Hamler-Fugit, Ohio Association of Food Banks. She's that group's executive director. Ben Johnson, also in the studio with us today. He is the director of communications for Ohio's Department of Job and Family Services. When we continue, we're going to jump a little bit more into how we can make a difference. What can we do as individuals? What can we do in our communities? How can we help make the hunger issue not as big of a problem as it currently is? We'll have that part of the conversation next on Town Hall Ohio. Welcome back to Town Hall Ohio and our discussion about hunger in Ohio with Ben Johnson of Ohio Department of Job and Family Services and Lisa Hamler-Fugit, Ohio Association of Food Banks. So we want to make this go away. We, I think, have painted a pretty good picture of how severe the problem is in Ohio. We want to make it go away. We know we don't have any magic wand we can wave and make it happen quickly. Ben, what's at the top of your list of things that we think we could do to help start really making a significant dent in hunger in Ohio?
Well, there are two things that we're looking at Job and Family Services. One is making it as easy as possible to apply for these assistance programs and to get assistance. And in relatively short order, the coming couple of years, we will move the application process for food assistance online. It will be at benefits.ohio.gov, where people already apply for Medicaid. And it's just going to make it easier for people to apply to the program as soon as they know they need help and for them to get benefits quickly. The other thing we're working on, and I've mentioned it before, is a comprehensive case management program that's going to pair emergency assistance, whether it's food assistance or cash assistance or something else, with long-term promise, with job training and an educational program, some help writing a resume, some connections and work experience. And we like to say that the best anti-poverty program is a job. And we know that doesn't happen overnight. It certainly doesn't happen overnight in the aggregate, but it doesn't happen overnight for an individual either. So we want to provide immediate assistance to families in crisis. I've talked a lot about stability, and that's sort of the crux of stability right there. But then we want long-term assistance. We want programs that stay with people and support them as they're starting work. What I like to say is that if you start a job and then your car breaks down and you can't fix it and you miss your second day of work, you probably don't have that job anymore. We want to avoid that. We want people to become established in a job, become candidates for promotion. And then after a period of time, they will be able to purchase their own food. They won't have the need for food assistance anymore. And that's really how the programs were always designed to be temporary. But they'll only become temporary again if we can provide those other work supports and that long-term assistance that people need as we move them toward employment or better employment.
Well, for what it's worth, from my perspective, helping people in need and doing it efficiently with my tax dollars, I can get behind programs like
that. That's what we're trying to do.
Lisa, how about from your perspective, what can our listeners do today or tomorrow or the next day to make a dent?
One, I say that if you're out there, you're an employer, you know, I'm totally with Ben, is that the best anti-poverty program is a livable wage job, which provides health insurance, paid time off, and an opportunity to save towards retirement, a job that pays a livable wage. We need individuals engaged in the decisions that our elected leaders make, both at the federal as well as the state level, to say invest in what matters, and what matters is investing in our greatest resource, which are our people. No more cuts to what's left of a pretty frayed safety net right now. We need to make education more readily available, and I think our state is moving in that direction, certainly with freezing higher education, tuition, an opportunity. The child nutrition reauthorization needs to be taken up within Congress this year. It expires in September 30th. We're calling on the programs to be updated and modernized. No more cuts. But modernized in truly being able to reach children who live in non-traditional circumstances. We certainly need healthcare costs to come down. We need to ensure that the rate of inflation on food and other energy and housing is not consuming more and more. But, you know, an opportunity to get back to what really built our great state and what's built this country, which is a solid middle income that can stand in grocery store checkout lines at the end of a long work day, not food pantry and soup kitchen lines.
So if folks want to need to apply for some of the benefits through the state, Ben, real quick, how do they do that?
JFS.ohio.gov, or visit their county Department of Job and Family Services, or they can apply at most of Lisa's affiliated organizations.
And if folks want to contribute to the work of the Ohio Association of Food Banks, where do they go to do that?
They can visit our website at www.ohiofoodbanks.org. If they'd like to learn more about the benefit bank, www.ohiobenefits.org, or call 1-800-648-1176.
Lisa Hamler Fugit, Ohio Association of Food Banks, Ben Johnson, Ohio Department of Job and Family Services. Thanks for joining us on Town Hall, Ohio.
Town Hall, Ohio is a project of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and is brought to you with the support of Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Join us again next week for Town Hall, Ohio.